£1 million bus lane camera. Good morning to you. Bumper Hall from Belfast Bus Lane Cameras. The network of them have brought in more than £2.7 million since June last year, with the Donegal East Lane bringing in almost £1 million of that. These figures were obtained by the Belfast Telegraph. They go far beyond the £500,000 estimate by officials. So what's happening? Are we there just like sitting ducks, or are they actually helping traffic flow? 0-30-30-80-55-55. The former MLA, Seamus Close, kicking us off this morning. What are your thoughts around this, Seamus? Morning.
Absolutely disgusting. Good morning, Stephen. I think yet again, the motorist is an easy, as you've referred to it or suggested, a sitting duck. The motorist is paying car tax, petrol tax, he's paying VAT, insurance tax. And these bus lanes ripping off £2.7 million from June. And this is a figure which, if you look back over
They're not
years,
ripping anybody off that aren't sitting in them.
Sorry?
They're not ripping anybody off that are not sitting in them.
Yes, but the purpose of them was solely to achieve better traffic movement in Belfast. By their own figures, which is now the Department of Infrastructure, they thought they would lift something like £500,000 a year. Whenever they're out by so much, it's demonstrating that there's overzealous enforcement and that they really are hammering the motorist. And the one outcome to this will be that it'll stop people from going into Belfast. Who wants to go into a city where you're afraid to move because you might end up unexpectedly in one of these bus lanes?
Yeah, but I guess, Seamus, if you can't see the thick white lines and the thick writing on the front of the road saying bus lane, you're pretty thick yourself.
No, but sometimes the traffic is such that you're virtually forced into some of these lanes. And, you know, it's not helping the motorist. I don't think it's helping the traffic move around Belfast. And the only way in which it is going to help the traffic move around Belfast, as more and more people get sick, sore and tired and decide, I'm not going into that place. I can go somewhere else to do my shopping. I can go somewhere else for a restaurant. I can go somewhere else for entertainment. You know, they've got to wise up and stop being overzealous. The principle might be okay, but the fact of the figures demonstrate that there's a large degree of overzealous ticket people who just want to stick these and find these with their cameras.
You're talking nonsense, aren't you? Because it's not ticket people doing it. It's a camera.
Yeah, that was an error. It's all cameras.
Yeah, but it's a camera.
And the cameras don't make human judgments.
Precisely. So they're not subjective. So
somebody might be there.
So you've either broken the rules or you haven't. That's what the camera captures.
Yes, yes. It's black and white, is it? It's not always black and white in life. Life, there are shades of grey, and unfortunately it appears that the traffic cameras and those who look at the cameras to enforce these fines don't recognise any shades of grey. Doesn't matter who or what the circumstances are. And, you know, over the years, your programme has demonstrated and shown occasions of where people have gone into them to do good works by collecting people, etc., by collecting those that can't walk or collecting those that may be blind. Taxi men I'm thinking of particularly, and the hard hammer comes down on top of them. It's not fair. It's not right. They ought to look at this again. But in the interest of Belfast, in the interest of nothing else, but in the interest of Belfast...
You would get rid of them, would you?
I would certainly have a serious look at them and question, are they doing the job that they were supposed to be doing? And I think there would be virtually universal reply to that would say, no, they're not. All they're doing is crippling the motorist yet again.
0-30-30-80-55-55. The environmentalist Jeff Gazzard. What are your thoughts, Jeff? Morning.
I can't really see how you can inadvertently stray into a well-marked bus lane. And I think some of these complaints, whilst they're understandable, there is a process of getting a notification of a fine. You can appeal. There are appeals beyond the appeal process to independent adjudicators. So, you know, you can complain about that's tons of paperwork, but you can do that online. And people do get off these fines if they have, admittedly, a pretty tough you know, an impeachable reason, like picking up somebody who is partially sighted. These particular examples are always trotted out by people who are just anti everything to do with traffic enforcement. If you're sitting in your 13 foot of slowly rusting metal, you know, it doesn't give you the right to absolutely drive everywhere without anybody in front or, for that matter, behind you.
It's not about driving everywhere, is it? It's getting to the stage where there's hardly anywhere to drive anymore.
Well, that's a result of...
You know, you come down... I was coming down the Ormer Road this morning.
Yeah.
So you know, piles of car after car, stacked back behind each other, and somebody tiddling down the left-hand lane in a bike, in a bicycle.
Well, there we are then. Now, there's your answer. If your commute is under maybe 3 or 4 miles, get a bike. There's nothing wrong with that. I cannot see the problem with motorists in a jam getting a bit cheesed off at cyclists. Although, of course, I can hear the canard that they don't pay, you know, any kind of vehicle excise duty, let alone buy petrol.
Does it not highlight, you know, Stuart writes to me on Twitter this morning,
yes.
Stephen Nolan, and he's asking why we need 24-hour bus lanes, for example, at Central Station, when there isn't a 24-hour bus service.
Well, that's a fair point. And some lanes...
Is that anything to do with revenue generation? So there's no bus at 3 a.m. in the morning, but they're still fining you at 3 a.m. in the morning.
No, and that's something which the council should look at. A lot of lanes are determined upon 24-hour use. In some major cities, there is a problem. I can see that in a busy central city square... or around the bus station, there may well be a need. I'm not saying there is. I'm saying there may well be.
Seamus?
I think, again, it's something, and what we're calling for is that they have a look at this again and they stop being so overzealous about it. And with regard to...
But Seamus, they're not overzealous. They can't be overzealous if you're caught on the camera doing something that you shouldn't.
Yeah, just... Black and white, forget about the shades of grey. If you look at Donegal Square East, for example, nearly 18,000 fines issued. Nearly 18,000. Castle Street, over 14,000. There's something wrong with the system.
What's wrong?
So many people, and it is not in the interests of Belfast that happens. And my call would be,
system,
for goodness sake, look at those areas where there's over 18,000 fines issued.
Seamus, you should stand there or look at a day's CCTV and look at the times and the people and what drives them, literally pun intended, to do this. I've got a theory here. I don't know the gender breakdown of this, but I have an awful, awful feeling that 90% plus, 95, 97, I'm going to stick my neck out, 99% plus of these fines are male drivers. Does that tell us something, for instance?
Mark in Belfast.
Yeah,
morning, Mark.
More male drivers are driving cars.
First call of the morning. Morning, Mark. Go ahead.
How you doing, mate? Stephen, I'd just like to say, the first 6 months figures and the second 6 months figures. If the second 6 months is higher than the first 6 months, then they're a complete failure because it's an increase of usage of the bus lanes, and the cameras are specifically there not to fine people, but to stop people using the bus lanes. So that if there's an increase in the second 6 months, and that's easy to look at in the figures, then they're a failure.
I don't think they failed. I think what happens is that people just don't think they're going to get caught.
Well, if anything increases that you don't want it to increase, then that's a fail, mate. And anything
but, that's this kind of reverse psychology where you have a very
not reverse psychology. It's simple. It's a failure. If anything increases, you fail to do your job.
You don't know how many people it's putting off in the first place coming down the bus lane, do you?
Absolutely.
You're on a diet and you put weight on, you fail.
No, I don't think
simple
so.
I think
what's failed is people...
The point in bus lanes is to get people or try to persuade people to take public transport. So if more people are being fined for going into bus lanes, it is a demonstration that they're not succeeding in persuading people to take public transport.
Not necessarily, because we have...
And that's because the public transport system in Northern Ireland, not only in Belfast, but we're concentrating in Belfast, is not fit for purpose.
Some interesting statistics within this Beltel article today. They're showing, for example, stats about repeat offenders. One person's been clocked 42 times in just 15 months. Another caught on 37 occasions. Go ahead, Mark.
Right. Well, I'd like to know what the figures are of the people that are fined outside of rush hour traffic. And if that's the highest figure, then they've failed again. Because the bus lanes, are really primarily there to be kept empty during rush hour traffic to allow public transport to beat the rest of the traffic. But if people are getting fined at 11 o'clock in the morning, noon, and so forth, when there's no buses on the road and no traffic on the road, then
people
are falling into the bus lane accidentally and getting fined when the bus lanes don't need to be empty.
William next to North Belfast. Morning, William.
Hello, yes. I find that the bus lanes, they don't tell you the times that they apply to. There's nowhere, you're driving along in the city centre, you don't know whether this bus lane is from 7 in the morning to 7 at night, or it's 24 hours, 12 hours.
It must say it on the sign, does it not?
It does say it on the sign. They're all signs.
It doesn't say on the, where are the signs?
On the side of the road.
They're not on the side of the road. How can you drive? If you're driving along the middle of the road, how can you see the signs of the along the side? Well, like a bus stop, you mean a sign on that side?
Can you see a speed limit sign or no parking sign when you're driving along? The signs are there. I can categorically confirm the signs are there.
And what size are they?
Large enough to read, because we have very, very good legibility rules about.
Have you got done by any of the bus cameras, William?
No, I haven't, but I'm a bundle of nerves. As Thing said there, that you wouldn't go into the city centre because keep away from shopping, because I'm driving around. I go down. Sometimes the bus lanes are from 6:30 to 9:30 in the morning. Sometimes they're 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Sometimes
so you've seen the signs then.
And I'm driving along and they're laying out from the road, so I can't see what's on the signs.
Well, Glenn Roberts joining us now from the Northern Ireland Retail Consortium. Well, that's the line, Glenn, that you'll be picking up on. William, our caller there, saying he doesn't come into the city centre to shop because of them.
Well, good morning, Stephen. I think William has hit the nail on the head. I think my big worry about, I mean, this is the front page of the Belfast Telegraph. This is the lead item on your show. What message does this send to shoppers wanting to come into Belfast city centre if they see 1 million in fines? They see headlines like this, they're going to think, isn't it easier to go to some big out-of-town store rather than risk driving the car into the city centre? I think there's two things that need to happen. One, I think these lanes need to be reviewed. I think, and I put forward the idea to officials in the past, that instead of getting an instant fine, that your first offence is a warning, your second offence you get fined. I think that would be a common sense approach to this rather than just automatically slapping a fine on. I think there needs to be a bigger information campaign to motorists. And I think a third thing as well is that a lot of the people who are driving into Belfast city centre tend to be civil servants, public servants, or people that are driving through. You've about three or four big government departments that are in Belfast city centre who have big car parks themselves, Department of Infrastructure being one of them. And I raised this on Adelaide Street, in the back of Adelaide Street. So what we need to ensure is that particularly civil servants need to be challenged. Do they need to bring their car into Belfast city centre? And what we need to be doing is creating space for the shopper who does bring their car in, because we don't want to make the shopper who brings their car into Belfast city centre as some sort of alien species. We need to be doing more to ensure that the shopper who brings their car in is welcome. But in the same sense, we also need to be ensuring that we have good, sound public transport, affordable car parking, and that people either want to walk or take their bike in. It's not rocket science. We couldn't accommodate all of those things. Like, we need a sober look at this.
Don't forget,
we need to apply common sense.
Don't forget the big picture that we're missing here, the government would say, which is that the infrastructure that we have, the road network that we have, it simply cannot cope with the volume of traffic that there is and the likelihood of the increase in the number of cars on the road. So government has got to, as part of a policy, to encourage us to get out of the car and go into more environmentally friendly vehicles, and also vehicles where we're sharing them so that the infrastructure can cope. And that's part of the whole thinking behind these bus lanes.
I absolutely agree with that. I think
our speed limit, that's another problem. You don't know where that is signed. I don't see any signs for that around the city centre. And I'm driving along at 20 miles an hour in Great Victoria Street, hoping that I'm not breaking the speed limit. I don't know whether it applies there or not.
William, thank you. Fred in Tremor. Morning, Fred.
Hello there.
Go ahead.
I live in the rural area, and I had to deliver people to the centre of Belfast last Saturday. And I found the bus lanes, you could wander them quite easily when you hadn't been there before, and I think there's no flexibility in this. And getting around to something else with bus lanes and centre of town centre in general, I have a friend who is a driver for an independent tour operator, and he finds Belfast and most of the towns in Northern Ireland are very un-tourist friendly. If he has to drop people who would be on tours, which are usually maybe middle-aged, in the centre of a town, He can't get anywhere to park. If he parks in a disabled place, he's chased. And then when he does get his load wherever they want to be left off, he has to go and find somewhere to park, which is also difficult. And then getting back to the centre of the town to lift them again is under pressure from police and traffic wardens.
Okay, Fred, thank you. Oscar next. Morning, Oscar. Good morning.
First of all, I think everybody else, this is a ridiculous 24-hour bus lanes. But also, a fellow says you use a bus. It's okay if you live near a bus stop and you're getting off near the bus stop, near where you want to go. But you have to walk there. And it's discriminating against the disabled. If I go to the bank, the taxi had to lead me three streets away. And there's lots of offices in the city centre where elderly people, they can't get left off near them because somebody says, and the bus lane's empty, you're not allowed to stop there.
Seamus Close?
Look, I think that what we should do, I mean, there's been a lot of reasonable suggestions coming out from reasonable people. Firstly, our infrastructure in Belfast is not right for the traffic that's going through it at the moment or using it. So the first thing that any reasonable person would do is get the infrastructure right before you start penalising motorists and shoppers who want to use the city.
Managing the crowded, the overcrowded road space is exactly what lower speed limits and bus lanes are designed specifically to do.
But they affect people like me, the disabled, who can't get near wherever they want to go because there's a bus lane there. You're discriminating against disabled people.
Have you got your own car with a disabled pass?
No, I don't know.
Right, you can apply for one because it applies to the person.
I can't afford to run a car, okay?
No, listen to what I'm saying. I'm trying to help here because my wife is disabled. I'm a carer for her, and I know this topic inside out. So I'm giving you, not gratuitous, but some really good advice here. The disabled sticker that you see and the clock applies.
I don't have a driving license.
No. You need to listen. I'm sorry.
I don't have a driving license. You're telling me to
matter.
Get a car and a disabled sticker.
No, and I don't drive. No, I'm sorry, you just need to listen. You don't need a driving license. You don't need to have a car. The disabled permit is issued to the disabled person as an individual for use in whatever car they are travelling in. And that includes, believe it or not, private hire vehicles.
So are you telling me that if you have one of these disabled permits, yes. Are you telling me that allows a taxi to drive down a bus lane if it's carrying you?
I would say if you stop temporarily, right, and put that up on the rare occasions that you do it, you might get a fine because of the camera. You would probably hang on. Please let me finish. I'm trying to help here, right? This is not me being dogmatic. It might sound like it. This is help here. You may well be able, right, to appeal a fine from the rare occasion.
Well, we need to check that out, don't we?
Well, I'm telling you.
I think we need to go and check that out.
If I understand that, Stephen. He wouldn't let me in the taxi. I'm not going down there. I have to pay £90.
I've said it before, by the way. I want to know why some of these taxis, whether they have a passenger in it or not, can sail past me in the morning coming down some of the roads with the bus lanes in them, because they're a taxi, they've got the God-given right to be in a bus lane. Why?
Even if they're not
carrying any passengers,
it doesn't
they're
matter.
Soaring past me in the morning.
Because they're public transport, Stephen, and
well,
that's what
public
bus lanes
They are not public transport. If they're not carrying a passenger, they're not public transport,
are they? Because they're on their way between a trip or onto the next one.
Good. Well, I could be on my way between a trip too.
Yeah, but you're a private motorist and the rules apply to you, not to taxis.
Councillor Bob Stoker, well, you're not a councillor anymore. You're retired, Bob. Morning to you.
Retired and enjoying life, Stephen. But just getting back to overzealous parking wardens, we run a wee project here for senior citizens. And every Friday we take them to St. George's Market. So went to St. George's Market a number of months ago, dropped the older people off, the driver went, done what he had to do, come back to pick them up, parked in the bus lane, put in the disabled ramp, out on the vehicle, loading the older people on. Parking warden comes along, starts to give them a ticket.
He did not.
He gave them a ticket, yes, and the driver was getting very angry and upset, saying, this is a bus. But the guy totally ignored him, proceeded to give him the ticket, and we obviously appealed it because It is a bus. It doesn't matter whether it's a 19-seater bus or a 32-seater bus. A bus is a bus. We were in the bus lane. They wouldn't have any of it. He said, shouldn't be parked there. It's not a bus. Now, when is a bus not a bus? We did eventually appeal it, and the ticket was overturned.
Really?
Well, there we are then.
But the time that we had to spend taking photos of the bus, writing letters, providing our identification that it was a bus, all that added to the stress of actually running a bus. So that has taught us, don't go to St. George's Market on a Friday because the traffic wardens are over-exuberant.
Well, you say that, they're doing their job, aren't they?
No, a bus is a bus.
Well, a bus
must be defined in law. I'm sure there is some type of definition. There would have to be, wouldn't there?
Yes, and this here is a bus.
But the definition is...
Well, look, we have regular caller Noel Thompson on the line now. Good morning.
Stephen, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Thompson.
I have fallen foul of this Donegal East bus lane, and I think...
But the point
I
is, Noel, you've got the money to pay the fines. We don't, you know, you're on the big
issue,
box.
Though. It's the principle, Stephen, as you well know.
Yes.
So here's the deal. If you're going up, there's apparently no vehicular access to Adelaide Street, which is the road directly across May Street from Donegal Square. But what there is a one-way traffic arrow, you know, the white arrow and the blue background.
Yeah.
So if you're a driver and you're going up Donegal Square East, you see that sign saying, you know, drive this way only. So you go up it. And when I got my fine, I wrote to the department, or whoever you write to when you complain about these things, saying that the signage was misleading. And they wrote back and said, oh, it's entirely consistent with all the regulations, etc. But I think subliminally, subconsciously, drivers see that arrow, which you could not see if you were turning left off May Street into Adelaide Street. And I think that's one of the main reasons for that, number of tickets.
I'm trying to picture this, Noel. So when you're in May Street, is that right?
And you're driving up Donegal Square East.
Yep.
Right? Directly ahead of you is Adelaide Street.
Yeah.
Right? Now, there is a one-way traffic sign there, a white arrow on a blue background.
I know it. Yeah, I know it.
Okay. So if you see that, you think, oh, well, that's obviously the way to go.
No.
But it's illegal to go up that way. And if you go that way, you're in the bus lane for a short length of time and you get a ticket.
Well, listen, I think you should now be suspended from the BBC, given the fact that you've broken the law, Mr. Thompson.
No, I paid my fines. I paid my debt to society.
Thank you very much, Noel. Morning to you. 0303 80 55 55. The text 81771, the email nolan@bbc.co.uk. You have very little sympathy for the motorists, Jeff Gazzard, because you don't like them, do you?
No, I love motorists. I own a car. Come on. I think I've had one parking fine in 40 odd years.
I've had a few more than that.
Yeah. And I'm not the world's greatest lover of authority. But what I do know is these people will come and take your car if you don't pay these fines. And if you want to argue with bailiffs on your drive at 6 o'clock in the morning, be my guest. I go back again to this gender thing. I know this is going to prompt.
It's pie in the sky. You're guessing. It's not backed by any facts or figures, Jeff.
I do have some experience from radio shows like yours, and from just chatting to people, and I have never had a female voice on many of the shows, including three or four of yours and others, or an experience in real life where I've had a female motorist complain to me about these.
Well, here's
cars.
Margaret. I take it Margaret's female. Morning, Margaret.
Well done, Margaret. Thanks, Margaret.
You are female, Margaret, right?
I am female, and my daughter's female.
Come on, we need to get your phone fixed. We'll come back to you in a wee sec. Jackie. Morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Jackie.
Why should we pay tax? We pay road tax. So if we can't use all the roads, why should we pay it?
Well, paying tax doesn't allow you to do whatever you want. This is about the common good, isn't it? It's again about, you know, sharing public transport with each other so that the road network can cope with the ever-increasing demand, Jackie.
Yes, but I pay tax so I can drive my car.
Well, you pay your vehicle excise duty, Jackie, so the roads are maintained, new roads are built, street lighting is there, signs are put up, and that's the general day-to-day stuff. Unfortunately, as Stephen has just said, and he's quite right, on top of that, where traffic is particularly heavy and they need to manage road space for everybody. What drivers forget is this is actually about managing road space with speed limits and all the rest of it to allow them to use the road space as well. It's not anti-motorist. This is what I don't get about this. And there are various levels of stuff that we pay. For instance, we pay income tax. On that basis, why do we pay VAT on goods in shops?
Margaret, we'll try to give you another go. Morning, Jackie. Morning. Sorry, Jackie, you won't finish your point. Go ahead.
No, my tax is over £200 a year for 12 months tax. But I don't understand what all this money is being spent on. Because it's like, if I go to Belfast, they're wanting me to park my car somewhere and then take a bus into the town. It's not going to happen because it's not suitable.
Okay, Jackie, thank you. Margaret, morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
My daughter offered to take her dad from Seahill, where she lives, in to drop her off at Central Station, and she was going to get the train home to Ballymena. She did that. She had a baby in the back of the car. She pulled over for the 9 o'clock train just outside Central Station, dropped him off, wasn't there a minute, drove home again, and a week later received a ticket for parking in a bus lane.
My goodness. How do you feel about that?
She was really upset about it. I advised her to appeal it. The photograph showed no traffic on either side of the road at that time of the evening. She appealed it and it was rejected. Now she just won't go down that way at all. She's scared of moving into a bus lane.
And there's the top line. People frightened of going to certain locations is certainly should be a concern for government. Margaret, thank you. Jeff, thank you. Morning to you and to Glenn Roberts and to Seamus Close. Thank you very much indeed.